either we heal now as a team, or we will die.
Good evening, everybody. It is your Tuesday Night Delight. Yes, that's right. It's From the Cheap Seats. I'm your host, Jason Teasley, coming to you from the Tower of Teasley. With me, as always, the round mound of Pound Town. I haven't used that in a while. Is my trusty cohort, Jesse Starcher. Maybe. Is Jesse... I probably don't even have his turned up. Are we even... I don't even hear Jesse. So he should be on here. Since he's not, we're just going to go... But I'm just going to talk for a little bit. I don't know why Jesse would not be on here. Hello? Oh, you got to love live radio. I'm just going to... We'll fix it this way. I'll disconnect him and let him call back in. So... as I said, this is From the Cheap Seats, and you got to love Blog Talk Radio when you run into technical difficulties, as we seem to always do here on From the Cheap Seats. As we wait on Jesse calling back in, if anybody would like to call, you can actually call us at 323-657-0901. That's 323-657-0901. So... We're interested to hear what you have to say tonight, as opposed to me rambling on about absolutely nothing. Okay, we have Jesse. Are you there?
Oh, I am.
Okay, so I was telling our listeners how much, you know, how much luck we have with Blog Talk Radio. As I gave up, so I even broke out the old round mound of Pound Town.
Oh, you, wow! And I didn't even hear it. Damn.
Yeah, I broke it out for you, man. I did a callback.
Oh, jeez. Just a callback. I had to do a callback just about 2 seconds ago.
I noticed. Because I was talking. I did your intro, and you wasn't there.
Oh, jeez.
All of a sudden, you vanished.
Yeah, that's freaking... Blog Talk Radio. Jason Teasley, how the hell are you, man?
Living the dream, as always, man.
Oh, that's right.
Trying to stay on the right side of the ground.
That's good. That's a good goal. It's a good goal to have. That should be one of your New Year's resolutions. Happy New Year's, by the way.
It is a new year. You know what really gets me is these people that say New Year, New Me. I'm the same asshole at 11:59 of 2015 than I was at 12:01 2016. But this is our first show of the new year.
That's right, dude. Bringing it in, we're going to be talking playoffs, dude. We got the season just ended, man.
Yeah, it was. Your Browns had a lot to do with the outcome of the playoffs.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about the Steelers getting in and having to watch them. I would be so happy once they lose this coming Sunday. I'm got my fingers crossed.
Well, it is a divisional matchup. They are taking on the Bengals in Cincinnati. So, and we all know how the Bengals play in the playoffs. Without Andy Dalton, you know, AJ McCarron at the helm, people have a lot of hope for Cincinnati, but
shaky ground.
As I've learned in the past, as having a lot of Bengals fans as friends, yeah, you can't depend on the Bengals for anything. other than disappointing you in January.
So he's definitely going to be out, Andy Dalton?
Yeah, he's they've already named A.J. McCarron the starter.
Okay. I have not heard that, so that is – I've heard it here first, folks.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. What are you doing, Teasley? You sound distracted.
I'm always distracted. I'm trying to do like 15 things at once because everything seems to go wrong right as I start recording.
What do you need me to talk about here?
Nothing. I'll take care of it after I get done recording. So we'll talk. We'll start off the show. We'll start off the show talking about your boy Johnny Football and his
I'm so tired of talking about him. I can't wait to be done with his ass. I really cannot wait. That is from the heart. Sick and tired of talking about Johnny Football going to Las Vegas.
With a wig and mustache.
I mean, come on, dude. Seriously? That shit pops up on my phone, and that's all. I subscribe to the Browns updates on CBS, I think, or maybe it's ESPN, and it's nothing but just a joke after joke after joke that shows up on my phone with the notifications there. Johnny Football in Las Vegas. Did he no-show, too? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Because I saw that was mentioned. He
yeah,
no-showed?
He no-showed the game, from my understanding.
What a shit.
But, see, this is where, you know, I backed Johnny Football. When he was coming out of Texas A&M, we talked about this. I thought, you know, Cleveland would be a good spot for him to land.
Duh.
I thought that he would bring a nice little media market to Cleveland. You know, because Cleveland's not a big media marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, maybe they could build around him. They can, you know, garner some, you know, endorsements, maybe get some, you know, primetime games having Manziel. I even stated multiple times, I think he's got a bad rap. I think that, you know, given the right people around him, that he could actually be a star in Cleveland. And now this crow I'm eating tastes pretty shitty.
Well, you know what you always say. It's okay to be
it's
wrong.
It's okay to be wrong.
That's right.
And on Johnny Football, I was definitely wrong.
What is it going to take for this kid to straighten up and fly right? Do you think that where he moves to, now I know we're going to talk about that here in a second. As a matter of fact, why don't you go ahead and let our listeners know what the rumor is where Johnny Football
if you believe
may potentially end up.
If you believe anything Johnny Football says, which I, at this point in his career, his very short career, you should not believe anything that the man, the boy says, because he's not developed mentally, obviously. He's not mentally matured. But he has stated that he wants to go to the Dallas Cowboys, which is a vast media market, a vast, rabid fan base who loves – I'm pretty sure the Cowboys talk more about the past than Steelers fans and talk about their glory days. And he said that he wants to go there and be the next quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. But there's a little hitch in there. A certain former Heisman Trophy quarterback also has came out and said once he is getting released, because his release is pending, everybody sees the writing on the wall. He knows he's not going to be in Washington next year. Everybody has prepared for him not to be in Washington. And that's Mr. RG3. Now, me personally, being the person that I am, I was not a big fan of RG3 when he came out. when Washington took Kirk Cousins, I said, I've said multiple times, Kirk Cousins was a much better quarterback, especially in that system in Washington. He would excel. RG3 is the Vince Young type quarterback that he wouldn't really have a long career, and that I think Washington could have used what they gave up for RG3 to fill a lot more holes than what they should. Now, I'm talking about the Washington Redskins, who just won the NFC East over my Giants,
yeah.
Which is another small thing I want to touch on, is involving the Giants and Browns, you know, our favorite teams.
Mm-hmm.
But if it boiled down to it, and you had RG3 and Johnny Manziel to pick from the sign, everybody knows Jerry Jones is off his rocker crazy. Does he even give the thought of signing Manziel over RG3? Does he even process that
entertain
thought?
The idea? Does he entertain the idea?
Yeah.
Of all you have to do is look at the rap sheet. That's really all you have to do. And I would hope that you would want to bring in a quarterback that has the sense to act right.
Well,
unless you are wanting to bring this guy in completely as a backup with the thought that this kid is going to be a backup project, capital letters, quarterback, because that's pretty much what he is. You are going to have to invest some time into getting this kid, first get his attitude straight and get his mind focused on football and winning.
Well, that's the problem. Do you see how much of a clusterfuck he was in a small market such as Cleveland?
Yeah.
Now, you take him in one of the most predominantly focused on teams in the NFL. I mean, I'm pretty sure that any time the Dallas Cowboys could be on TV, they was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
They're heavily scrutinized. And there's another rumor I heard that it may be different now that Chip Kelly stepped away. Well, was pushed out the door rather than stepped away. DeMarco Murray has said that he does not want to be in Philadelphia next year. He wants to mend bridges and go back to the Dallas Cowboys. So Romo's getting up there in years. His health is a question. He's racked up a lot of injuries. So if you would sign one of these two, there's a good possibility that one of the two will be starting for you in the next 2 years. If not, because Romo has I don't think Romo's played. I think he might have maybe less than a handful of full seasons under his belt that he's not missed a game. Now, would you rather have let's hypothetically say that they don't sign Murray back. Murray stays in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And you still have the weapons of Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, Joseph Randall, Darren McFadden. You still have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Are you wanting to put a basket case, head case, all about the limelight, doesn't give a damn about his team, quarterback under center to lead your team, or would you rather have a pure athlete in RG3 under center and let him be behind the offensive line where he can actually throw the ball when he needs to, have that ability to scramble, I'm going to go out on a limb. If you would put RG3 behind Dallas's line, you might get the same results as you see out of somebody like Russell Wilson or Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
With not as good arm and not as accurate or as good as arm, throwing power, but somebody that could rush for 500 yards and throw for 3,000.
That particular team, though, just does not strike me as one of those teams that go for that scrambling quarterback. Troy Aikman, I don't recall him, even though he is Captain Concussion, I don't recall him doing a whole lot of scrambling and putting a lot of yardage up. And I'm just looking at the last, well, 26 years of quarterbacks here, 27, all the way back to 89, Troy Aikman took over. And there's two names on the list. That's Romo and that's Aikman. And in between there, there's some quarterbacks that I don't recall being scrambling quarterbacks. Vinny Testaverde, Drew Bledsoe, John Kitna.
Kitna tried to be a scrambling quarterback. He was not. He tried.
He tried.
Bledsoe was about a scrambling quarterback at Stonehenge. Testaverde was a pocket passer. He was more or less a gunslinger, I guess you could say. He wouldn't. The only time that he ran is to get off the field when they was punting. I'm pretty sure that
when he was quarterbacking.
I'm pretty sure that's the only time that you ever seen Testaverde run off the field. Well, I mean, you should be familiar with Testaverde.
I am.
He was a Brown.
Yep. I remember. I just putting a quarterback like that in that system, and Manziel is definitely, he's known for his scrambling ability and supposedly breaking plays open and making the pass when he needs to, or doing crazy stuff that particular team is just not known for. And RG3 is almost on that same level where, I mean, he doesn't really do a whole lot he hasn't lately, obviously, but he's not known for doing well in the pocket. I don't know, man. I just know that if the choice was up to me, I would go with RG3, and that would be pretty easy. I wish we had Marsh on here right now.
That's what I was going to say, because everybody knows Stephen Marsh, our friend, a good friend Stephen Marsh, is an avid Cowboys fan. I'm curious how he would feel about, the signing of Manziel opposed to RG3. So maybe we can bookmark that, and Stephen will get a chance to call in here before the end of the show.
Okay.
I mean, but me and you are in agreement that if you have to pick between RG3 and Manziel, we're signing RG3.
Absolutely.
So you know what that means?
Tell me.
Jerry Jones will sign Johnny Manziel. Because
here's what's going to happen. This is my prediction. I honestly see Johnny Manziel. I shouldn't say honestly see it. I just have this very bad sneaking suspicion that he's not going to be on a team next year. I really think so. And that's probably very unlikely with the fact that he's a Heisman winner and the fact that 2 years into the NFL, he's going to be done. But who in their right mind, after watching 2 years of this shit go down, makes a decision and says, I want that guy on my team? The only reason you would do that is if you fully intended on sitting his ass on the bench and assigning somebody to have like a hammer or something in their hand, so when he starts to go off and do something stupid, they can hit him right in the mush and knock his ass straight.
I could give you a couple of teams that would sign him just to line him out. And they would be good fits for him professionally, because they have a solid coaching staff. They have a solid front office. and that if they brought him in, they would not put up with his bullshit. The two teams that come to mind right off the bat, New England Patriots, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well.
Because this is, could you imagine if Manziel pulled this with Belichick as his coach?
There's no way. And
or Mike Tomlin, for that matter.
I could clearly see it with New England. New England, he would not be able to do nothing. I mean, there, and if upper management made that decision to bring him in there, I mean, they should just be ready, because Manziel strikes me as the person that's just going to do whatever the hell he wants to do, and sometimes may do it just to spite your ass.
Well,
and that would not be a good, not be a good fit.
Well,
and
this,
try
this
to keep him straight.
This is where I see him fitting in New England. I see New England signing. I see him signing to a practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
At for a league minimum or something, because obviously it was shown very nicely this year. The predecessor, the next quarterback in the New England Patriots system, is already in place. He is a guy that I loved coming out of college. And when he went to the New England Patriots and they said, yeah, we're going to set him. We're going to let him learn. He's going to learn from Tom Brady, who is by far one of the best quarterbacks in the league. If there's a quarterback, a couple of quarterbacks you could learn under, I would put Brady up there with Peyton, up there with Breeze, Phillip Rivers, Eli, let's see, Carson Palmer. Some of these quarterbacks, I would like to have a young guy just to sit under the learning tree with those names I mentioned and just absorb the knowledge. Jimmy Garoppolo is been deemed the predecessor to Brady. Front office likes him, Belichick likes him, Brady loves the kid. So if they sign Manziel, give Manziel on a practice squad. Maybe they'll line him out so when Brady does step down and they move Garoppolo up to the number one spot, maybe then they can bring Manziel to be the backup. I do not see Johnny Manziel being a starting quarterback in NFL ever again. I see him being a backup at best.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing's for sure, I'll be waving bye and looking forward to another rebuilding year for the Cleveland Browns. Again.
Okay, let's talk about that real quick. Does Cleveland go for quarterback? They've got the number two pick.
I've heard this draft class of quarterbacks is not that great. And
I'm going to say there's two front runners in this class that if Cleveland would land either one of them and give him a support, either one of them supporting class, there's no limit to what neither one of these kids could do if they give them the right possibility. Okay, well, as the mock draft I'm looking at right now, the Browns do not take who I think they're taking.
Okay.
They've got them taking a defensive end, the Joey Bosa out of Ohio State, which would be a great pick because that would be a lot. And this is what surprises me. The Dallas Cowboys had the fourth pick in the draft. So,
oh, really?
They could get their pick of the three. I'm going to say there's three great quarterbacks in this. The kid out of Memphis, Paxton Lynch, who would be a nice fit to come in and be really, really solid. But this is the guy that I think that if Cleveland can, if they can move back in the draft, that they need to get. And that's Jared Goff out of California. The kid is money. Big, strong arm. Like I said, California kid. His parents played at Cal. And everything. They have him going to San Francisco. He's a Bay Area kid. I think that if Cleveland can move back and maybe snag this kid, I think it would be great. The only other guy that I see, let me find him here. I'm going through like the mock draft here, so give me a second.
No problem. Take your time. You're going to know a lot more about those guys than I do. You know I don't watch college ball hardly at all.
What I would like to do is before the draft, I would love to get Josh Calandres on here, get him to talk some college football.
Yeah, some college ball, man. I don't think we've ever had him on here, have we?
No, we've never had Calandres on here, and me and him talked about that just the other day. They don't have this kid. It's a kid out of Michigan State.
Connor Cook?
Is that his name?
I don't know. I'm just looking. I'm looking at the 2016 top NFL draft prospects. Michigan State quarterback Connor Cook. 6'4", 220 pounds.
Yeah, it's Connor Cook. I was drawing a blank for some reason. I was like, I know.
Yeah,
Connor Cook. Okay, I just got to. Yippee. I got an email from our friends over at Top Shelf Fantasy saying that my prize is on the way. Which, if anybody, we'll go ahead and plug there. If you haven't subscribed to their Twitter feed, please do if you're into any fantasy football whatsoever. I wouldn't mind doing a mock draft. You mediate it and maybe get a couple people on here, like maybe get Dan and Calandres and a few of other our football friends to get on here and talk, specifically team needs. I would love to get Dan Hines on here for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Calandres might just be our moral support, or maybe get Josh on here for a pre-draft analysis, since he's probably our big college football expert.
Yes, he is.
But do you see the Browns staying at 2 and not going quarterback, or do you think the Browns are happy with their quarterback situation?
I don't think they're happy with their quarterback situation in any way, but I really do not know what this class represents.
Well,
like I said, I heard that it's not that great. I could see them sticking it to and maybe picking up going defense heavy, potentially. I really don't know. I don't think that they'll draft a quarterback. In my honest opinion, I do not think that this year they'll draft a quarterback first round.
I don't. I think that if they can get him in the second round, I think they might hold off and try to snag him up in the late first, early second round. I think if Cleveland does secure that defense, because, that's what Cleveland's been known for, is a really ironclad defense. They've never been a really offensive-minded team. Any success I've seen Cleveland have, it's been through a defensive standpoint. So, them getting a nice edge rusher would be great, especially a local kid coming out of Ohio State. I think that would boost ticket sales and everything. So let's move on to another big story that me and you have to deal with this week, more me than you, because it was a little bit more heartbreaking for me. You're kind of used to the front office and head coaches and front offices coming and going. Mm-hmm. Me, on the other hand, I said goodbye to a head coach that was won two rings while part of the Giants organization, was a very predominant father figure to a lot of the Giants players, all-around class act in Tom Coughlin. You, on the other hand, I think this is like the eighth coach in 8 years.
I saw his stats.
I'm being dead serious. I don't think a coach has been in Cleveland longer. I think here lately, the longest a coach has been in Cleveland is 2 years. And I think since me and you've been doing this show, they've had three coaches since we've been doing this show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff. Tom Coughlin, when did that happen? Was that yesterday or the day before? It wasn't today, was it?
Coughlin retired. He stepped down Monday.
Monday, okay.
He had his official retirement speech today, but he stepped down as of Monday. But his official retirement speech and everything, and the ceremony was today.
Okay. Well, what are your thoughts, man? Did they already announce what's going to happen for next year?
No, they're holding off right now. They're letting everybody just, you know, kind of soak in the fact that Tom Coughlin's gone. They're not going to be in any rush. The only name I've seen that's came up is the Giants trading a second round pick to the Saints in order to get Sean Payton.
Ah, I did see something about that. You don't like that?
I don't like that simply because I think it's giving up too much for Peyton. Peyton's a good quarterback. I mean, a good coach. He's a good quarterback coach. He had a lot of success with Brees, but I just don't think that he would fit the Giants organization, and the fact that Tom Coughlin's moral standards in New York. And you still got, anytime I hear Peyton's name, I think of Bounty Gate. So that still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, somebody that would hire players to intentionally hurt others. From a moral standpoint, I think that would ruin what the Giants stand for and what Coughlin built.
You got somebody in mind that you'd like to see show up?
I wouldn't mind them promoting McAdoo, which is the offense coordinator in New York. I've said it for years. If they could persuade Bill Cowher to leave the booth and go back to the sidelines, I would be ecstatic. Cowher has went on record saying being the coach for the Giants would be a dream job of his, but I don't think that he has that coaching itch anymore to come back in and be a predominant force. But if I was fantasy GM right now, the two names that always comes up in any coaching discussion, that's Gruden and Cowher.
I like Gruden. I don't like Cowher just because of what he's represented to myself as a Browns fan, so I'm kind of biased. He's a great coach, really. I shouldn't be a prick like that. But there for a while, if you remember correctly, that there were rumors about him potentially leaving the booth and coaching the Browns. But that fell flat within like a week or so. So I hope you get somebody good. Coughlin's a very decorated head coach. I mean, the guy has accomplished a lot in his, man, how many years?
12.
12 years. He looks like he's been coaching football since Super Bowl I. But it'll be he's got quite a record.
He matched a gentleman that the Giants just put in the Hall of Fame by the name of Bill Parcells. Their playoff run was I mean mirror images of each other. So do I see I don't see Tom Coughlin not going into the Hall of Fame at some point. I see him being trying. I see him, and if Coughlin goes to the Hall of Fame, I think that and the day that Eli goes in, I think I will be try. I will try my damnedest to be on hand for the Hall of Fame ceremonies to watch those two members of the Big Blue Nation go in.
Awesome.
So, do you have anything to say about your Browns constantly changing before we move on?
No, I'm just disgusted, man. It's glad the season's over. I look forward, as I have in the past few years. When I say few, I mean like 10, to the next season to see what we can do. And it's just going to be a process that takes some time to try and get a back and somewhat a good team. So I can't have high hopes for next year. There's going to be too much new shit going on. Too much stuff to try and deal with. New quarterback, possibly. New coach. New management. It's going to be 2 or 3 years before I can actually be.
I see. This is what I'm going to project. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to segue into this. Okay. We're going to segue into this real smooth, like.
Sure.
The 2016 schedule came out. We know the home and away parts. Who's playing? What are teams are playing? What teams they're playing home, and what teams will be on the road? Okay. This is what I'm gonna offer you. In Cleveland this year.
That's right.
Is there any chance that the Browns upset you enough that I can bring you the Big Blue Nation?
Negative.
I mean, not happening. There has to be. I mean, you and Joel have suffered enough. You have suffered heartache enough. I'm trying to give you. I'm trying to give you. Right now, it's marginal. It's a marginal taste of victory. But you know, it's marginal at best. You know, but I'm trying to offer. I offer the same thing to you that I will Joel. Quit being part of a losing, dying breed. I'll save you guys seats over here at Big Blue Nation.
Oh, we appreciate that. I think a lot. I've given this a lot of thought as a Browns fan as to why I continue to be one. You know, I see somebody like. We've talked about Pat Mullen before. At some point, we got to have him on this show. We'll talk about him enough. But I see somebody like Pat Mullen who was a Jets fan. And I don't know what extent he was a Jets fan. I don't know if it was just recently. But for me, I've been a Browns fan since the 90s. Well, probably before that. Late 80s when I started to really understand what football was and how to play it. And everybody can thank Sega Genesis Joe Montana football for that. But I became a Browns fan at that point in time, and I have been since then. I don't understand what could cause somebody to change their favorite team.
Well, in the case of Pat Mullen, I know what caused Pat Mullen.
I do too, I, you know
that was a risky signing, and that Pat didn't agree with. He didn't agree with the front office decision to sign Michael Vick. Pat's an avid animal lover, and when they signed Vick, Pat's loyalties stayed with his moral standards rather than his loyalties to a team. So
and that's
he
commendable.
He went and became a Raiders fan, which. I question that due to the past stuff.
When we're talking morals here.
But since Al Davis died, the Raiders have been very, very hospitable.
Yeah.
You can say.
Yeah.
Because we tried to bring Pat the Big Blue Nation. Me and Pat introduced me to one of his friends who's a big Giants fan. And her and her husband tried to bring Pat Big Blue Nation. He was not having it. We was upset.
Yeah. I think I root for the underdog. And maybe that's what appeals to me the most, being a Browns fan. It's going to be a glorious, glorious day, Jason Teasley, when things finally go right. I can't express to you how happy I was back when the Cleveland Browns made the playoffs, and in order to get into the playoffs, they beat the Atlanta Falcons, I think, in a very, very close game. And that was like the game to try to actually get into the playoffs. What a tremendous day that was for me. And maybe I'm a masochist where I torture myself so much just waiting for that one day, that one great release of pleasure to watch my Brownies win and win big. So I think, Big Blue Nation, I understand. It must be nice to be able to, go around and high five all the time while you guys are winning games. I know it's not a lot here lately, but you got Eli Manning, you got fucking Odell Beckham Jr., which is, man, we haven't talked about him enough this season. Tremendous talent. So it's appealing. I can't leave my roots like that. It's Ohio. It's Cleveland. It's the underdog. There you go. That's my psychological analysis. That's why I'm a Browns fan and will continue to be so from here on out.
Okay, man. I'm just telling you, there's room. if you want to experience what a Super Bowl winning team feels like, I will make room for you right beside me.
I appreciate that.
Okay. So going back to that, going back to the schedule, is there any games that you're looking forward to outside of divisional games that, of course, that the Browns are playing outside of their division this year? Any games that you're looking forward to that matchup?
Well, we've already talked about it. I look forward to what's going to happen between me and you when the Browns host the New York Giants, because – there's probably going to be some type of a bet that's going to occur. I'm pretty sure of that. And even though it might be a losing bet on my end, I plan on having a good time and being able to face, since we've had this podcast, I don't think we've played you. So it'll be fun to actually sit down and then hear what the podcast is going to be the following week, which is most likely going to be cursing your name.
All I'm going to say is I've never been in attendance to see the Giants play and win a game.
Wow. That's not.
They've never won a game when I've been in attendance.
That's not too far. So that's right up the road.
So this is what we're hoping for. Tickets go on sale in April.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule releases. And tickets go on sale at the end of April. What we're discussing, me and the better half, we've discussed something. Your birthday's in May, correct?
That's correct.
What we're discussing is planning a weekend trip to go up Saturday morning, leave Saturday morning, pick you up on the way, go to Cleveland, and be ready to go to the Giants-Browns game.
Oh, wow.
So, well, we're going to try to make it happen.
We'll hash that out for sure, man. That'd be a fun weekend.
So this way that me and you are in attendance in Cleveland with the Giants and Browns play. And
that'd be a fun time.
this is what, if we can make it happen, that Saturday night, the Saturday night before the game, we will have a live on air night before Cheap Seats Special Edition.
Ooh.
So we're going to try to hash it out. We're going to look and try to look when tickets go on sale or anything, and look and try to figure out what day the game might be. Because I'm hoping, if we're playing in Cleveland, I'm hoping for a late September, early October game.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about, because if we get a late November, December game, I'm not going to Cleveland. I'm sorry. I'm not freezing my balls off.
Buddy, I've been up there. I've been up there for three games, and two of them, oh, my gosh. We got seats where and this, I think, was before this is before the move. So we had seats right off, you know, the lake was blowing right into our face. And it was cold, dude. Still a hell of a time, but it was cold. And I wish I could remember when it was. I honestly think it was like I think it was a November game, if I remember right. We played, this was actually when Vinny was playing for the Browns, because my uncle at the time was walking. I think he went to the bathroom, was walking back to the seat, and ran into Vinny, who was in suit and everything with people beside him. And I don't know what the hell he was going on, if it was during the half or what was going on, but pretty cool stuff. So, man, yeah, we'll hash that out. That sounds like a blast, dude. It'll be a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Now, as for other opponents, you know, we're playing the whole NFC East this year. So we're playing,
well,
you guys.
You'll at least get two wins.
At least with
the Redskins and the Cowboys.
You think the Redskins are going to be that bad off? I mean, they're in the damn playoffs right now, and Kirk Cousins looks like he's on fire.
I think if I'm not mistaken, they've got a lot of free agencies coming up.
Okay.
And I think that's what's going to be the problem. Is it's,
well,
not
I can tell you right
offense,
now,
it's going to be their defense.
It'll be fun to play the Cowboys. I'll tell you who it's not going to be fun playing. We're going to be welcoming in the New England Patriots. And, gosh, I can see the spread already. The spread's double digits, folks. And the schedule ain't even been set. So there you go. That's my analysis of the schedule. It'll be a lot of fun. How about yourself? I mean, the Giants are playing. Let me take a look here. Obviously, I assume you guys got the AFC North this year.
I'm actually not even for sure.
Well, hold on, I can tell you.
I had it pulled up earlier, but I clicked off of it when we was talking about the. I was looking up the 2016 mock draft. I'm definitely looking forward to playing the Browns. I mean, that's a given.
You said you used to be a Browns fan, so that would be...
Browns is my second... Browns is my AFC team. Well, not anymore. They used to be. My AFC team, my loyalties have changed to my second favorite AFC team because of the Poonana. And we all know who in the AFC has my heart.
Yeah.
Anybody listening to this show knows who has my heart.
And
that's Miss
Yeah, you
Ford.
Guys. Yes, Mrs.
We're playing. We've got some NFC North, some NFC South. We play in London this year.
Ooh, road game against the Packers.
You know, we play in Lambeau. Well, last time I remember us playing in Lambeau, I think we went through Lambeau and won a Super Bowl, so I'm not too worried about that. We play in Pittsburgh. Oh, this could be interesting. If we don't get to make the Cleveland game, I can definitely see me going to the Pittsburgh game.
You go right ahead and go on over there.
I think you should go to the Pittsburgh game.
Stop at old Bettis' Bar and Grill. Go into the bathroom. Have you ever been there before?
I've been to Pittsburgh plenty of times. I've never been to the field.
Okay,
I went to the bar in Pittsburgh. I have no idea. I went to Pittsburgh for the Royal Rumble. and I went to some little bar.
Okay.
And it was right across from Console Energy Field. And I got drunk with a Hulk Hogan impersonator.
Well, this, you'll never forget this dude.
Who was Korean?
We went to watch a concert there at whatever the name of the place is. I can't remember the name of it. But the field was right across there. Bettis's Bar and Grill, right on the river. And, oh, I hated going in there just because Bettis all over the place, you know. But good food. I had a good hamburger, so I won't talk too much crap on it. But you go into the bathrooms, and the bathrooms are a trip, dude, because you walk up to a urinal, and it's one-way glass. So you're looking out of the bar, and what they're looking at is a mirror. But you're sitting there taking a piss, looking at those.
I thought when you went to the bathroom, Roethlisberger followed you in, and then you had a lawsuit on him.
Still pending. I can't talk about it.
I got jokes.
You got jokes. Rapelessberger jokes. But anyway, Pittsburgh, buddy, you go to Pittsburgh, and I will root for your Giants 100%. As a matter of fact, if we can't make the Cleveland game and you want to go to Pittsburgh, you let me know, and maybe I'll don some blue just so we can go in there and give the Steelers fans a hard time.
I will go in Pittsburgh that says hide your women and children. Roethlisberger's on the loose.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Ain't nobody got time for Roethlisberger.
And look at that. You guys are going over to London Town to go over there and take on the Rams. Isn't that wonderful? Jason Teasley and the New York Giants go over to London and have some chips, fish and chips.
The mute button's pending.
I don't know if I've done it all year. Damn, the whole season's over with. I ain't even had a chance to do it.
I'm hovering over it.
Oh, shit.
I guess that wraps all our news and stuff up. Is there any playoff games you're looking forward to? I know you said the Bengals-Steelers game, which I'm really interested in that due to, one, the Steelers getting in, and I think
gosh, man.
The Steelers' running games is hurting right now. D'Angelo is in a walking boot, has a mild ankle sprain. Bell's still not coming back. He's done. So they really don't have a running game. Unless D'Angelo calls Peyton and has Peyton's wife sign for some HGH. I don't think D'Angelo is going to be on the field this weekend.
Captain Forehead.
I think that's the main game that I'm looking for it. I think Green Bay plays at. They're playing at
Washington.
Washington. Chiefs and Texans play. I don't think that's going to be. The Seahawks Vikings game could be interesting simply because the Vikings are playing at home. The Seahawks are on the road. Everybody knows the Seahawks don't play that well on the road. And it's going to be blue ball cold in Minnesota. So I'm pretty sure our friend Dan Hines is going to be pumped for that game. And then, like I said, we'll do our quick picks here. Who do you got in the Chiefs and Texans game before we wrap everything up?
I'm going to take Kansas City.
All right, yeah. I'm going to go Kansas City too. Reluctantly, I think it's going to be a tight game. But like I've said many, many, many times before, Alex Smith won't determine the game, but he'll manage the game. And I think it's what it's going to take to beat the Texans on this is just clock management and not a lot of turnovers, nothing flashy, little dink-dunk passes, nothing big downfield. The Packers and Redskins, is anybody really legitimately taking Washington in this game?
I'm taking Washington.
Are you? You're taking Washington over the Pack?
I will take Washington over the Pack. Green Bay on the road at Washington. I think Washington's a strong team. And
this just in, White Dwayne said that his gambling problem will take you up on that with a 3-1 odd.
White Dwayne, unbelievable. Bring it on. I'm taking Washington, buddy, so you're taking Green Bay.
Yeah.
I
was hoping that Washington would show up for this game, but I doubt they will. I think it's Green Bay on the road. I think they're going to have something to prove. And that is
They should have proved it last Sunday or this past Sunday night at home against Minnesota.
Well, speaking of the Vikings, and you know, we touched on this slightly. The Seahawks Vikings game. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, which is like 10 a.m. in that time. I don't know. It's funky time. I don't know. We don't know what time it is. It's funky time is what I all know. It's the funky time.
time to get funky.
This is a hard one. I'm really wanting to take Minnesota at home based on Seattle does not play well on the road. They're going to be outside the comforts of their own stadium. They're going to be on a very cold field. I just don't think they're supposed to get Lynch back for this game, which could be the turning point. But I'm going to take the Vikings. I'm going to go out on a limb and take the Vikings.
Okay, I'm taking Minnesota as well. Now, did we talk Pittsburgh at Cincinnati? Like, who you're taking? Are you going to take?
I was waiting because that's the most intriguing matchup. So I was saving it for
last.
Oh,
okay.
So you're taking the Vikings as well? Any analysis, or you're just like, fuck it, I'm taking the Vikings?
I think it'll be a close game. The only chance that Seattle has is if Russell Wilson, who's not done too shabby this year, but if he can manage the game and they can feed Marshawn, and he takes it in, you know, he takes the ball and holds on to it, then they have a chance. But Minnesota at home, yeah, you've already went over what type of advantages they have, and Seattle's coming all the way over to the East Coast. Well, not too far, but regardless, Minnesota. There's my analysis.
Went to the Midwest.
Somewhere.
So, now the most intriguing matchup is the Saturday night game. I really wish they would have saved this for Sunday night because I think the viewership for this game Sunday night would have been a lot higher than it will be on Saturday night. It's the most intriguing game on the wild card weekend. That's the Steelers and Bengals. I'm taking Pittsburgh in this simply because I'm going with history, and the Bengals can't win a playoff game. I think McCarron is a good quarterback, a good budding quarterback, but I don't think that he can hang with a veteran defense such as Pittsburgh. I'm going to go with Roethlisberger and the Steelers. That offense, that's a high-powered offense, especially if D'Angelo can play. That adds another key element that I don't see Pittsburgh doing. Cincinnati struggle running the ball. I think that if they take A.J. Green out of the equation, McCarron will freeze under pressure, and I look for like a 17-3. 24-7 Pittsburgh victory.
I would probably have to agree with taking Pittsburgh here, and it really pains me to say that. Pittsburgh has been pretty inconsistent. Last time they played the Bengals, though, they came away with a victory. And that was at Cincinnati, too. They beat them December 13th. I'm looking at the score, 33-20. So, and that was with, or no, that was Dalton was playing. Wasn't that the game he got hurt?
Yeah, I think that was the game he got hurt.
So I couldn't see any different result here. I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well. I hate to say it. I don't want the Pittsburgh Steelers to advance in the freaking playoffs. Cincinnati would be the other team, obviously, that I want to see advance. But Pittsburgh it is. We've got one game difference, and that's Green Bay and Washington. So at some point, I'm going to have to go through and maybe add up all our picks for the season. I should have probably done that before tonight, figure out where we're at.
Well, we can discuss that on a future thing.
Like one of those things. Okay.
Next week.
All right.
Because you can have that ready for us on the divisional playoff round. You can,
sounds like a plan.
That'll give you a little bit of time. Get that together. So, let's see. Is there anything else we need to cover?
Well, we got our picks in. I don't think so, man.
Well, with that being said, we'll sign off and get out of here. Go ahead with your plugs, and we'll end this little shindig a little early tonight. I said we wanted to go about an hour, so we went about an hour, so that's good. And I have to go to sleep.
You do have to get up early.
Lord knows I need all the beauty rest I can get.
Well, damn it, you yawning and got me yawning. See, damn it. Anyway, as for myself, all right, folks, you can catch me on Twitter at Stiznarky. You can catch I do another podcast. It's called the Source Material Podcast, trying to stay biweekly this year. And so far I've stuck to the biweekly schedule. This coming Monday, I'm working on editing the episode right now. Me and Ronnie actually talked at the beginning of October, a book called, it was a what if book called Wolverine, Father. What if Wolverine father? And it's basically about how if Wolverine was a dad to his son, which in the comic books it didn't happen. But anyway, folks, me and Ronnie had a great discussion. Ronnie of the Screaming Void podcast. He and I talked a lot about, you know, the book, as simple as it was, brought up a lot of good questions about nature versus nurture. It was a lot of fun talking. So if you enjoy comic books, or even if you just enjoy general discussion about anything, if you enjoy podcasts, give that a listen. And it should be dropping here on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network come Monday the 11th. Now you can catch other shows such as the, let's see here, we got the Metal Hammer of Doom, we've long ruined, we've got 411 Ground and Pound. All those shows are on the Radulichan Broadcasting Network. They cover a lot of different subjects. Give the Radulichan Broadcasting Facebook page a like. You can stay up on top of all of the great podcasts that are out there. And folks, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search Radulich and subscribe. You'll stay up on top of anything that drops, including all the future episodes of Cheap Seats, all the future episodes of Screaming Boy Podcast, all those great episodes of Source Material. Things that you just can't, you'll find out that you can't live without. You cannot live without. That's it for me. You can go back in the archives, check out previous episodes. You know, Teasley was talking about the guys from Top Shelf Fantasy. They were on last week. Give that episode a listen. We had a great discussion with those boys. Look forward to having them on again. That's it for me, man. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah. Only thing I got to do is, like Jay said, definitely go back and listen to our great friends from Top Shelf Fantasy. Great guys, and that was the full, like almost 2 hours worth of discussion. And I don't think we made the first pick, other than we talked some Super Bowl predictions, what we'd like to see, and I think that was pretty much it. We talked at our some year end awards that we felt was deserving. We batted around that, and we just actually just talked. It was a nice little change of pace to get some people on here to talk with me and you. That definitely next season, we're going to have to definitely bring them back on. Like I said, I wouldn't mind getting them on. Maybe get them on along with Dan. Maybe even reach out to our good friend Gavin Napier. Yeah, that's his French name, Napier. You know, gotta give him his French name, Napier.
Yeah, I'd like to get him on. I almost reached out to him tonight, but I was like, man, he usually likes to do podcasts pretty late, and I know it was short notice, so we definitely got to get them boys on here.
Yeah, I'd like to maybe try to get a round table for maybe the draft or something, and maybe this year. You know, I was thinking about this. It's almost in 2 months, well, 3 months. It will be a year since we did the live draft special.
Indeed.
That we made it through about 8 picks before I got drunk and got bored of talking to myself because you had to put the kids to bed, and I just end the show. And,
I remember that shit.
And you
come
back
downstairs, I'm like, hello? Hello?
You come back to a show that has already been over. So, it's been almost a year for that. That is crazy.
Anything can happen. Yeah, isn't that crazy, man? Those pictures I was posting on the Rattlish and Broadcasting Facebook page, those were back when we drafted, you know, Manziel. And I can remember doing live coverage just, you know, I think I was doing it on the Cheap Seats Facebook. We wasn't doing it via podcast or anything. Anyway, yeah, that's crazy stuff.
Yes.
Time flies.
Yeah,
and we're having fun here, folks. We're having lots of fun.
Well, we like to pretend we're having fun, but anyway, definitely go check out Screaming Boy Productions. I was on there with Josh Calanders and Rodney Adams, and we talked Star Wars. So look for that coming up. I should be
Calandros.
Yes, me and Calanders hopped on a Screaming Boy production, and we talked Star Wars. And
when was this?
We recorded Monday night.
Oh, man. This was last night?
Yeah, we recorded we recorded Sunday night. So
oh, man, I look forward to that, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't heard Calandris on a podcast in forever, so
it got a little crazy. And it got a little crazy, and we found a new favorite Twitter that overtook Stilts Man.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So with that being said... With that being said, you know, Happy New Year to everybody. Look forward to covering some more football and growing this little thing that I was lucky to have be given to our patriarch, Mark Radlich. He gave me this little sports show. It grew from a very, very horrible audio the first episode. To what you
that
now,
first episode.
It was episode zero. That was like patient zero. I'm on
the
my
infection
second
started co-host. There.
I'm on my second co-host. You know, we started out. It started out with me and Robert Cooper. Cooper then decided that he wanted to get a job, and Lowe's consumed his soul, and I reached out, and Jesse was gracious enough. We've had. Some past guest hosts when me and you, sometimes when you wasn't able to make it, Cooper joined us back. There's been two times that I wasn't able to be on here, which speaking of which, it was actually a year ago today that you had a very special co-host on here.
I was sitting there thinking about that. I was trying to remember when it was when we talked to him. Sean Comer of
yep.
The Long Road to Ruin. Man, I can remember specifically, you know, sitting there talking with him that night. We ended up getting Coop on that night somehow, too.
And a random Indianapolis fan called in.
What's his name? Yeah. He had the craziest name, like Woodrow or something.
It was very interesting. So
Will Elvis.
Will
yeah.
Wilmer.
Will.
But I don't know.
I doubt he still listens. Yeah. But we apologize. You're the one person that called in, and we can't get your name right.
But going back to this, it amazes me because with this year's Super Bowl, it'll make the third Super Bowl I've covered having this podcast. And it's just, it's crazy how much this little thing has grown from a personal standpoint. This is kind of my baby. I sometimes suffocate the kid, and it gets fetal alcohol syndrome and stuff. But
yeah.
I enjoy everybody that does listen in. I even think we got a small, tiny little fan base. I don't know if they actually care, but hey, we do good numbers. And if anybody does listen, I want to say thank you and wish you guys a happy new year, and we're out of here.